This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:07, you're listening to WSMI AM 1540. It's the Wednesday Talk Show. I'm your host, Tobin Ott. This week, we are pleased to feature Mickey Robinson from the Coal Country Chamber of Commerce. We're also here with Joe Thiemann, Gillespie Superintendent. No longer assistant.
Yes, sir.
Superintendent now.
That's correct.
Our guest, and we'll have our conversations right after this. Hang on.
Making your final arrangements in advance at Plummer Funeral Home allows you to make decisions at a time when you are thinking clearly and not under the stress that surrounds the death of a loved one. It also allows you time to consider your options and to make intelligent, informed decisions calmly and completely. And then we'll help you put them in writing so that there will be no mistake about what you really wanted. Plummer Funeral Home, the locally owned hometown funeral home, your neighbor and your friend.
And we're back on the Wednesday Talk Show. Tobin Ott here, our guest this week, Joe Thiemann, Gillespie School Superintendent, and Mickey Robinson from the Coal Country Chamber of Commerce. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Morning.
Mickey, let's start with you. Since our last conversation, you completed the summer concert series. I'm sure you've had enough time to tally the totals. How did this year's summer concert series go?
Wow. That's all I can say. Wow. 6,000 people in the 9 shows.
That's incredible.
That's a record for us. And also, Steve Davis broke his own record again. Every year he breaks his record. He had 1,031 people.
Wow.
And it took us 3 times to count it to make sure we got it right. And it just unbelievable.
You had to go through, what, 2 auditing firms to make sure it was right?
Well, it almost had to do that way. It was just unbelievable. Every night we doubled their attendance.
That's outstanding.
And it's unbelievable. Since that, I've been getting requests from park administrators and other groups within 50-mile radius. How do you do this? How do you put something this on? Mm-hmm. I said, you'll have to make an appointment with me because I can't describe it over the phone.
Okay.
And that's all I can say. I'm proud of it. And we got 5 of the 9 bands booked for next year ready going from there.
All right. So the Summer Concert Series was a success. Coming up for you guys, you have the Fall Festival. Tell us a little bit real quickly here before we go to Joe about the Fall Festival.
Well, the Fall Festival and the Tour de Coal bike ride, we have it on the same day, Saturday, September 27th. We're going to have the Alaskan reindeers again this year. There's 2 of them coming. There's also 2 full-grown camels with their double humps, and also 3 buffaloes. And I didn't know there was a different buffalo of every kind. There's 3 of them, and they're bringing them in. One's an Indian buffalo, which I never heard of. And another one's called a water buffalo.
I've heard of them.
Okay.
I've heard of the water buffalo.
But there's a third one that I still don't know what the exact name it is.
Okay.
But there's going to be them, and we're going to have some of these special goats there and some other exact. And, of course, we're going to have our pumpkin patch there. We have a farmer bringing in 500 pumpkins and 500 pounds of tomatoes, 500 pounds of apples and apple cider and other kind of vegetables that he grows. And last year, he just keeps bringing more and more and keeps getting it. We're becoming known as the last vegetable pumpkin patch.
Joe, how's the school district doing on tomatoes? 500 tomatoes.
maybe I need to get a hold of our food service personnel to see if there's any need there.
That's a lot of tomatoes.
Well,
the
interesting part, he sells them all of them too.
I can imagine.
Yeah. It's growing. We're already surpassed our number from the last 2 years of craft vendors. Right now we have 73 already signed up.
That's outstanding.
And all the live entertainment's there from 7:30 in the morning till 4:00 in the afternoon. We change bands every couple of hours.
And one of the highlights, speaking musically, Steve Davis is back, and he'll bring back memories of Elvis.
Right. He'll have a 3-hour show with Patsy Cline, and the other one is
Buddy Holly.
Buddy Holly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's always good entertainment, and that's always a neat fall festival. So and I remember your fall festival because it's right around, it's close to my anniversary. So that's easy for me to remember. So I have to remember this one because it'd be the first. So,
right.
But the Tour Nicole registration still ongoing?
Right. It's you can go to our website, coalcountrychamber.com, or you can go to active.com and register online directly with them.
Okay.
You do registration that day, too.
Okay. I don't know about he's bringing reindeer. That's not good. That's not a good sign because reindeer means snow.
Yes, it does.
And that means you're going to be – no, I'm kidding. Joe Thiemann, welcome back, my friend. How are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
And let's talk a little bit about the Gillespie School District. Hard to believe the kids are back in school. It seemed like 2 weeks ago school ended. Now they're back. How are things going so far?
Well, great. You know, the weather the last couple of days has been hot. Fortunately, we're air-conditioned campus-wide. So that's really not a problem for us, of course, until you step outside. Our enrollment numbers have stayed steady. We think once we get final ones after Labor Day, we'll see a slight increase. So that's always nice. It's an exciting time of the year. Our staff is excited. Our kids are excited. So it's been a great start.
And, of course, that first week of school, there's a lot of excitement. The kids are back. They get to see the friends that they probably, well, I'm sure they hang out during the summer,
right.
But you get that. It's good for the community because that means football. Now, this week, your guys are in Vandalia, but
correct.
If you had a home game, that's basically like the first real big activity
sure.
that the outside of fair and festivals or Black Diamond Days that people get together and meet up. There's a lot of excitement that first week.
There sure is. For every small town, I suppose, across America, the school district is often a focal point.
Mm-hmm.
And so once it gears up and our school year starts, you have the academic factor where we have kids back learning, which is, of course, what we're there for. But also the extracurriculars, that's an exciting time. Football is always an exciting time.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we have volleyball, mm-hmm. we have middle school baseball.
Yeah, don't want to cut those out.
Cross country, all those kind of things, too. So we're certainly looking forward to it.
Let's talk a little bit. You talk about enrollment, and especially this time period, and correct me if I'm wrong, enrollment tends to fluctuate, right, as kids move in and
sure.
and move out, correct?
Right. We you really want to look at really two factors. The week after Labor Day, particularly on the elementary level,
mm-hmm.
you'll see still see some kids enrolling, and so that there's a tendency for the enrollment to go up. Officially, we do an end of October. It's called our fall count, which is what we sent to State Board of Education. So that's what we officially look at. But there's still some movement. People are still trying to find a place to live, or families are moving for whatever reason. So there's a tendency for that enrollment to go up early September.
Future for the district enrollment. I mean, I'm sure you take a look at the elementary
absolutely.
School and see the crop or the wave coming in, because that determines what needs to be done
sure.
at the high school. Because if you got a big turnaround of people coming in, you're going to have to make adjustments regardless. The future for the district, enrollment-wise, does it look pretty good, or is it going to remain steady?
It looks really good. We have some, for example, we have a fairly large fifth-grade class. And actually, our 6th, 7th, and 8th are also fairly healthy. So when you look, as you mentioned, at the high school aspect, that's something that you try to plan for. And at the end of the day, that equates to money,
mm-hmm.
because if you're going to add personnel.
Money, what's that? Wow.
Yeah, money, money. So from a budget standpoint, that's something that you look at.
Mm-hmm.
The flip side of that on the elementary level, you're tracking pre-K numbers, pre-kindergarten numbers. I'm trying to get a handle on how many sections of kindergarten, first grade, so on and so forth that you might need, against the backdrop, of course, of not being fully funded by the state, which continues to be a problem. So the administrative team is always looking at how can we service kids the best way in the most efficient financial way.
All right, let's talk about it. You brought out the elephant in the room here, school
sure.
funding. If it's my understanding, it's going to be remain at the pretty much the same level as what it was last year, which I guess if anything, that's good news. So wait, at least it gives you an idea of where the budget. It's not the full 100%
correct
that you would like, but where are we at with state funding?
Well, here I can throw a few numbers at you.
Okay.
Here's where we're at state funding. As far as state aid is concerned, we're funded at about 89%. That costs the Gillespie School District $750,000 a year. In the last 4 years, that equates to $2.5 million that we're not receiving. Keep in mind, what's state aid based on? State aid's based on your enrollment.
Mm-hmm.
It's really based on your attendance
right.
from the previous year. So though those students continue to come, and we welcome them with open arms, we're not getting fully funded to educate those kids. So the power bill doesn't go down, and the water bill doesn't go down.
Right.
Food costs
go down.
Food costs do not go down.
Right.
Labor costs, you know, generally increase with labor contracts.
Mm-hmm.
As teachers retire, there is some savings there, so on and so forth. But it's not only a battle we fight; it's a battle that all school districts fight. And I'm here to tell you, it's a problem that's not going to go away. And if we continue to be only funded at 89% of our state aid, eventually the money will run out, period, in the education fund. It will run out.
And you're already starting to see some of those effects. You look at the last election, we've had two school districts that attempted consolidation locally,
sure.
and it failed. And I know no one wants that C-word to float around, but to me, and I'm not saying Gillespie's in this position or Staunton or anyone else, but it's getting more prevalent now than ever before.
Sure. Well, one way that we've addressed that is you bring up Staunton, for example. We are, first of all, we're in a special ed co-op with Staunton, Bunker Hill, Mount Olive to share costs. Several of those districts in our district, we do things like buy paper together, buy fuel together, bid those, so that those costs go down. With Staunton in particular, we share buses with Staunton to things like to things like FFA contests, Scholar Bowl, some of those things. Sometimes state track meet. It just depends if those events are south,
right.
then we're going to pick up Staunton kids and head that way.
If they're north, then Staunton picks
pick
you
up
guys
our
up.
Kids and head that way if we can fit them on one bus. So I personally see that relationship continuing where we're constantly looking at sharing costs for different programs.
See, that must have changed, and for the better, because when I graduated in 96, and I always remember Staunton, you couldn't get the two to work
sure.
together. I mean, Staunton burned an S in the football field. They came back and burned a G and R. That rivalry was
right.
Is this a sign that there's kind of like a mutual working together and the rival? I mean, it's there,
sure,
but at least there's signs that you guys are working together,
sure.
and that's good news.
Well, you know, when you bring that up, and that's all, you know,
it's all fun and games,
right, games kind
right.
of thing. But honestly, on the administrative level, you know, I'm in constant contact with other superintendents. Athletics really doesn't come up.
Right.
Rivalries don't come up. We're looking at what is the best service we can get for our kids. Because, you know, if I can help serve Staunton kids, wonderful, or Carlinville kids, if they can help service our kids, you know, I was on the phone with Staunton superintendent over an issue at 6:30 this morning. So we're constantly, because we bus our kids back and forth, we're on the phone all the time trying to help out. So that's kind of how we operate.
And
there.
I think it's a plus, because correct me if I'm wrong, Staunton's got a new superintendent.
Yes, they.
And you are new. So
sure.
it's not like you've got a superintendent that you're working with in Staunton that's been there for 20 plus years.
Right.
You guys are like fresh ideas here that you guys can combine your forces and make this work and make this better.
Absolutely. And you know, when you bring that up, I don't hesitate to call a colleague like Pat Murphy, Superintendent Mount Olive, Dr. Beeler at Bunker Hill.
Right.
I've known Mike Kelly in Carnival for well over 30 years. Mm-hmm. If I have a question or I think that they have a program that's working well, I read about or I become aware of it, I'd be a fool not to pick up the phone and call and say, hey, how can you help me out? Or how can you help our district out?
And let's talk a little bit. You mentioned something interesting, retired teachers. And we'll go back to the school population a bit here, because that's got to be hard. You mentioned you've got a fifth grade class that will slowly but surely be creeping up the system. Yeah, you know, and you get, let's say, a couple high school teachers retired. That's got to be hard to go to the board saying, you know, we're not going to replace retired teachers, but we got this juggernaut class that's coming up. We can't afford not to have them.
Right. Well, you know, how you have to balance the needs of students with what money's there. You know, if I could print money, I would. And it'd be great.
I think anyone would.
Yeah, everyone would.
Anyone would.
But, you know, that's an ongoing process. So you're looking, and I talk to the Board of Education about this all the time. Mm-hmm. Here's who we know are going to retire next year, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. We need to start planning for looking at our enrollment figures. How can we save some money? We'll never sacrifice the education of students based on money. But the flip side of that is, you know, as a Board of Education, as a superintendent, I'm responsible to taxpayers and to all citizens in our district to make sure that we're financially sound as much as we can be. Yet, you know, look at where that is. And it really is a distribution of resources. For example, we would rather have five sections of each of a grade level, kindergarten and first grade, because that's critical, than maybe some of the, maybe a fourth or fifth grade, you know. So for example, even with the larger fifth grade class, we're living with four sections, four teachers, if you will.
Right.
We're more likely to put a fifth section in kindergarten and first grade, and we have. That's when kids are primarily going to learn how to read. It sets the foundation. But that's tough to go to a fifth grade team and to go to Angela Turkle, our elementary principal, and say, hey, we just at this point cannot add a fifth grade teacher. And they understand that. Wonderful staff. They understand that. However, if I had my $2.5 million over the last 4 years, it's not a question. There's a fifth
grade brainer.
Teacher. It's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just reality. So, and we deal with it every day.
And then, and covering news like what I do, it seems like not the Board of Education, but the teachers, and they know what you guys are going through. And I'm hoping that the union understands that this is where we're at, and there's a compromise or willing to work together to make the ship continue to go in the right direction.
Well, I can only speak for our school district.
That's what I'm looking at
right now. Our relationship with the union, number one, is fantastic. I have to tell you, I have three principals, Joe Rosentreter in the middle school, Lori Emmons in the high school, and Angela Turkle in the elementary school. All three were union presidents when they became administrators. That's how well we've worked together. As a union, it's amazing.
Wow.
They were in essence sitting union presidents when the Board of Education and Paul Skeens, former superintendent, hired them to become administrators. Michelle Smith is our current president of the union. Talk to Michelle all the time. We settled a 4-year contract in two nights.
That's incredible.
A summer ago. In 2013. So as far as that's concerned, they understand that. We update them on that. They realize now they would like more teachers, of course, and so would I. And that's something that we'll try to approach.
Are you afraid at one point they're going to say, you know what, we've been nice
for
consecutive contracts.
Sure,
it's time to...
Sure. Well, I mean, you know, it's a flexible relationship. It's
right.
A fluid relationship. And I just think that we have the same goal in mind, and that's to put the best education forward we can for every student in our district.
Man, it seems like everything is going pretty well for
it's
you guys.
It's going great.
And your role, I mean, I think Paul kind of trained you pretty well your first year because you were handling
sure.
It was like a smooth transition. You probably had the smoothest transition of anyone into that position, absolutely, into the superintendent's position.
You know, I couldn't have asked for a better situation than the Board of Education presented to me, nor could I have asked for a better mentor than Paul Skeen's last 3 years. Absolutely.
Joe, it's always a pleasure. It's hard to believe school is back in session. It's nice to hear some good news. I know there's been some positive. You've got the education reform bill that Senator Menard sponsored, sure, and got through. What kind of a effect did that have on you guys with the game, with funding, with the education reform
bill?
Well,
Senator,
hasn't passed the House yet.
Senator Menard said it hasn't passed both chambers yet. It's not law. If it were to be put into if it would become law in its current form, mm-hmm, that's a big if. We will receive about $2.5 million a year additional funding, a year. Now, whether that passes in its present form remains to be seen, but I would certainly welcome that.
Okay, and let's see. We didn't have any disasters at the school district this year, so that's good.
We're putting the finishing touches on the May 30th, 2013 tornado damage. And that's just about finished.
And then the pit's ready to rock and roll for this
coming. Pit's ready to rock and roll. Just a few things. I mean, we're in it. I mean, it's functioning. But there are a few things that still have to be taken care of there, and we're ready to roll.
And then the Benelt School, as we talked before we went on the air, mm-hmm, it's no more.
It's down.
Right.
They got the headache ball.
Yeah, it's in a process. There's still much to be hauled away, but mm-hmm, the structure is no longer standing. The old... it wasn't that old, but the Benelt School that we lost to mine subsidence. Yes.
Joe, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And thank you.
I look forward to our chats in the future.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Mickey, you've got 90 seconds on the clock. Go.
Okay. Going back to touching the base on the Fall Festival, a few things, the highlights so that people can understand. The entertainment is free. It's live, and it's free. It's free admission to the whole park. There's no charge for anything, except maybe the food or if you buy something from the craft vendors. There's the Masons of Gillespie is going to be doing the digit fingerprinting for the parents, for the kids and everything. They give them everything, the digit of the picture, mm-hmm, the things like that. The Turtico bike ride is also going on. The Choo Choo, Chambers Choo Choo is there. Free rides on that. Bring your lawn chair if you're coming for the entertainment. There's free parking someplace around the park there. The Rangers will be welcoming you there. They'll be there on Friday afternoon, but we want you to come Saturday. We're still setting up.
Okay.
We're not ready for like that. We have a big kettle corn, the choo-choo train, and the reptile is coming back from Blackburn College.
Okay. So a lot of activity with the Fall Festival. That will be on September 27th. And that's going to do it for the Wednesday Talk Show. Our guest this week, Mickey Robinson from the Coal Country Chamber of Commerce and Gillespie School District Superintendent Joe Thiemann. We will talk to you next week. Until then, so long.